Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Well, hello, everybody. It's Clarissa here. We are back in the limelight. And yes, I have another extraordinary entrepreneur from the other side of the world. She is coming in from Europe. Really thrilled about her being with us today. I do want to remind you, however, before we get started, that we do have some very exciting things happening over where we show, we can hear our podcast, Apple, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and we're over on Podbean as well. Don't forget that if you want to watch us on TV, it's Binge Networks, Roku, Amazon TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Daily Motion, and 100 other smart TV apps. The magazine, which you have seen by now, is on Press Reader. Here it is. It is In the Limelight with Clarissa, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. And that is our lovely Lady Carnarvon over in England. If you have seen Downton Abbey, you have seen the castle that she owns. So lovely to see that you're going to be able to read that on pressreader.com. And you can read it also on clarissaburt.com. I also want to shout out my good friends over at my news desk for press releases and news releases. This is the place that I go to. And I have to tell you, I've said it every time, it has changed the trajectory of my business by being able to let journalists, thousands of them all over the world, know what's happening here at In the Limelight. All right, I've said enough and I want to bring her on. This is my very good friend, the beautiful Countess Isabel Adriani Palazzi Trivelli. I was at her wedding a year and a half ago in Rome, and this lady is the entrepreneur par excellence. This is a lady that has done, I mean, it all. The biography goes on and on, but she is an Italian actress. She sings and she dances. She is the author and the queen of fairy tales. We're going to talk about that also. She speaks about 5 different languages, and she did marry a prince about a year and a half ago. So good to have you on, my good friend. So glad to see you.
Thank you, Clarissa. It's marvelous to see you again.
And, I know, yes.
I really hope to see you very soon and to host you at the castle, actually.
I cannot wait to get to the castle. I'm excited. Hopefully, we can, you know, when we lift COVID and we can get in and out of Italy frequently and freely, I will be there. I want to talk about your book right now. And I want to talk about what was it that led you down the path at a very early age of fairy tales. You are a PhD in everything fairy tales. Why fairy tales?
So you touched immediately the point. Well, actually, I was born in Italy to two psychiatrists. So just imagine. I was always in the middle of DNA and stories and you know, medicine and helping people and stuff like that. And the only moment I had with my parents was at night when my dad would come back from the hospital. He would tell us a fairy tale. So this is something that I always treasure in my heart. And I just, you know, I lost him a few months ago. So it has been very, very tough for me. And now, especially now, it's you know, something that I want to give back to the world, the love for fairy tales. But I was always interested in fairy tales. I always asked them to tell fairy tales again and again and again, because I thought maybe, you know, I will find something I can learn from fairy tales. In fact, psychologists agree that fairy tales teach patience and determination and strength and, you know, the way to reach our goals. So I really thought it was amazing. But people used to tell me, oh, you always have your head in the clouds. You're always, you know, thinking that fairy tales exist and something and blah, 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 blah. And so I promised to myself when I was still a very, you know, little child, I promised, okay, I will show the world that fairy tales exist. And I actually quite did, because since then I took my degree and then a PhD in fairy tales with a thesis entitled The DNA of Fairy Tales.
Yes.
And now, and this year I came out with a book, which
so
is
exciting. The DNA of Fairy Tales. No, see, show the book. Let's see the book. The DNA of Fairy Tales. There it is.
I'm not a good seller.
It's okay. Yes. It's a beautiful, beautiful book, The DNA of Fairy Tales. But I want to know why it was so important for you to go down this path. What was it about the fairy tale that captured you almost for a lifetime to the point where you manifested not only in your work on television, but also by marrying a real prince? I mean, Isabel, who does that?
Well, I know. I mean, actually, all of my good friends, as you are, tell me this. They just cannot believe. How did you do? Well, first of all, I have to explain, because otherwise it seems like I'm the luckiest in the world. But like, I just want to explain how it went. First of all, what really surprised me in fairy tales is that you have a protagonist, a lead, you have a goal and you have an obstacle. This is a fairy tale, but this is also life. These are, you know, the basic of all the stories. So I don't know how, but I always believed so much in fairy tales that I wanted to show, for example, that Cinderella existed, because if Cinderella existed, everything would have been possible. So after my PhD and my degree, I started, you know, traveling around the world. Besides my work as an actor, I was really like studying as an historian, because my PhD is in history. So I tried to go deep into all the historical sources around the world, in Egypt. I went to Greece. I went to China. I went everywhere to look for the sources I had found. And I found her. I mean, Cinderella existed. She was a Greek slave who lived 2,650 years ago, and she became queen of Egypt, marrying the pharaoh Psammetichus II, thanks to a shoe. So I found Cinderella. From then on, I just couldn't believe it. And I found all the other, you know, things that happened. At this moment, every time I would do something, it was all about fairy tales. And I was hoping to do fairy tales also in my real life. But when I met my husband, who is Earl Vittorio Palazzi Trivelli, I never thought he was a prince, because, or a count, or a nerd, because he told me he was working. I mean, we met, I know it's incredible. I know people never believe that, but I didn't go to beautiful balls in Austria, in Vienna, which I did later on. And I did once with my grandmother, and that's it. But
yeah,
but you know,
but then,
no,
but then he approached you and you were like, not interested.
That was so mean. Well, Clarissa, we met on the beach. I mean, do you really? I was moving to LA. I already had my green card. I was so happy to go to LA. I wanted to pursue my acting career. All I could think but, you know, to get in a relationship, because I wanted to think only about my career. I'm a nerd, a book lover, very boring kind of, you know, like all studying, doing. Reaching the goals, and
so you had no interest. You go to LA, and he wins your heart and brings you back to Italy.
Absolutely, I didn't know. He told me something, a lie. Just it was someone who would build like auto routes or something like that. And so I said, "Well, we don't have much in common." And I went away, and I treated him so badly. He always tells me that, "You were so mean to me." And I said, "Well, I just met a guy on the beach. What did you expect?" and then we met, and he knew everything about me, but I didn't, because I lied too, actually, because I didn't want. you know, I was in the middle of 7 movies at that moment. My acting career was important to me more than my author career, which turned out now. And so, you know, it's the opposite now, but he knew everything. And I said, no, you know, I work for an actress and, you know, I'm her PR. And he knew who I was. Of course, I was not that smart. I was in the covers of the newspaper. Yeah. So, but, you know, and then at night he began to invite everyone in the same table, my friends and his friends. And I said, oh, you know, my friends. And he said, of course I do know them. And all of a sudden, the moment I tried to look for my phone, in one sec everybody was gone and I was alone with him. And I said, oh, mamma mia, what happened? Where is everyone? And he said, well, do you know, he knew I was interested in history, in archaeology, in astronomy. He said, do you know that there is a pyramid here in Sardinia? It's so beautiful. So I was like this and he was here, and I started, really?
We fell in love. Only, yes. Not only your love of fairy tales brought you to marry your prince, but you also have a television show on Italian television where you dress as a princess and you read fairy tales to the children. Tell us about that.
Yes. So, well, I've done it for many years. I did it for many TVs and then I did it on my own. I did podcasts and stuff. And now I you know, my book, Le Fiamme d'Isabelle, Isabel's Fairy Tales, is actually been chosen by RAI, Radio RAI, Radio RAI Kids, which is, you know, the most important radio in Italy for the kids. And I was so flattered and happy because they chose my book. And so I tell with my own voice my own fairy tales of the classic traditions with the, you know, with Isabella Carbone, which is, you know, she's a friend and a director, and it's really cool. It's something
that
very
is really
beautiful.
Cool. So I want to talk about another project of yours. And we've been talking about that for a while. I'm very excited that you're probably about 6 months, maybe 8 months from the publication of that book. And it is called The Fairies Cabinet. Tell us about the project and the idea and how that came to you.
So studying for the DNA of fairy tales, which is like a 12 volume compendium about the real stories behind fairy tales, Snow White, Aladdin, etc., and Cinderella, as I told you before. Well, I found something amazing. We are used to know that only, you know, male authors wrote fairy tales. We know Jasper Roux from Cendrillon in Cinderella in French, at the court of Louis XIV, like the Sun King who built Versailles, just to understand that. And we are in the 17th century, so 1600. And actually, we know Perrault, and then we know the Brothers Grimm, of course, and many Italians like Giambattista Basile, we know Italo Calvino, Gozzano, etc. But actually, this is not all, you know, just about male authors. Imagine that after that, Charles Perrault published his Conte de Maman Loire, his book of fairy tales. Actually, there were all these ladies, noble ladies at the court of the king, who started writing fairy tales. And they wrote so many marvelous fairy tales. Fairy tales which people don't really know or remember because they're not very famous, but if they could only know how beautiful they are, everybody would fall in love with them, exactly as for Cinderella, Snow White, etc. They wrote incredible books like The White Cat, Babiole, Finette Sandron, marvelous, marvelous. Yeah. And actually, these ladies had an incredible life themselves, because imagine that they were spies for the king to the other royal courts in Europe. So just imagine a fairy tale inside of other fairy tales of these incredible ladies. And after 100 years that they had written these fairy tales, a knight, Hans de Meyer, decided to collect all the fairy tales and to put them inside of a compendium of 41 volumes called The Fairies Cabinet. So I started a new Fairies Cabinet today.
I know. Okay. So, first of all, I remember you telling me that everybody thought it was the men, right, that was writing the fairy tales, but it was really the women in the court that were doing it, which I know upset you. You're like, they never got their, you know, they never got like their kudos and all of the, you know, elation around the women. What about the women? Okay. And then you decided with the Fairies Cabinet that you were going to ask other noble and royal women, mostly in Europe, to write a chapter for the book, for the Fairies Cabinet.
Just to make you know, everything very clear, I write books with disadvantaged children, with other women, with other people. So it's not that I wanted to write a book just with noble ladies, right. But this project especially, so the DNA, it's not like that. The Isabel's Fairy Tales, it's not like that. And the radio is not like that. But Fairy's Cabinet, it's very particular because these ladies were all at the court of King Louis XIV, and they actually were so in love with fairy tales that they started writing, and their fairy tales, to be honest, as an expert of fairy tales, I can tell about myself, they're marvelous. So they're so beautiful. And I thought, well, what is in, you know, so important? It was that they would transmit tradition, which noble families usually, you know, do. And they have fairy tales in their own families that they transmit orally from mother to daughter.
Right.
That's why I asked to, you know, the storytelling to these ladies, because very often they have stories from their own families and their own traditions, which doesn't mean other families don't have.
Right.
But this was like a double, you know, double fairies cabinet at the court of the king or in the courts of Europe.
What an extraordinary idea. That is really a cool idea. So that book is going to be coming out, well, we say about maybe 8 months, seven, 8 months, something like that. I know that you're working very diligently.
Yes, I think by March, by the spring 2022, if all the ladies, because I'm being, you know, they're coming so many fairy tales. I wanted to do one volume. I don't know. Maybe I will have to extend it. But I'm so happy that they, you know, they received and they wanted to share their own fairy tales connected to their, you know, region, land, to their families, to their history, to their castles, many very often, and their ghosts and or their animals or their like stories of princesses or it's beautiful. It is beautiful.
You know, on my show, I frequently ask the question, and it's very apropos, especially when I'm speaking with you. And the question is, what would you say up until today has been your crowning moment?
Well, as I often say, Cinderella married a prince, but many, many women wish to be a CEO, you know, of a big company. And you know that. I truly think that everyone has his own. Mine was, of course, the wedding with my husband, which he transformed into a fairy tale because he knew I was in love with fairy tales. So he came to Los Angeles. He said, I'm not leaving if you don't marry me. And then he took me to Rome and actually it organized the most marvelous. You were there. And every table had, you know, like a fairy tale name and everything was like magic. And there was the carriage of the family. Just marvelous. He did.
Lovely.
I don't know. But yes, maybe that one. But also when my first book came out and when one day, I will tell you, it was really special. I was in Harvard and I asked to look to a manuscript of Strabo, who wrote the Geographica, a huge work about the geography and the history of ancient times. He was an ancient historian. And when I finally could look at this manuscript, and it was in ancient, you know, it was very difficult to read, but I took a photo of it. And then I immediately asked a friend of mine to help me to translate it. And when I did it and I found out that what I had written in my own historical novel about Cinderella was true, I started crying. It was incredible because I had almost everything, but I had invented just this little thing. And I found that it was true. That was really...
Well, we're almost at the end of the interview. I really hate to see you go, but I would like for you to tell everyone how they might be able to contact you on social media.
Oh, mamma mia. So I have an Instagram account.
Twitter is Isabel Adriani. LinkedIn, Isabel Adriani.
Isabel Adriani Official.
Right, on Instagram. And then you have YouTube, Isabel Adriani Channel.
Yes. And I have, yes, a YouTube for opera whistling, which is another chapter. And then, yeah, and I have email.
I know, yeah. We didn't even go down.
And I have a website, right. Of course, yes. I have a website.
Yes.
isabelladriani.com, yes.
isabelladriani.com, absolutely. I'm going to ask you this one last question, and then I will see you hopefully again very soon. And that is, yes. How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, like a brother, like a Sister Grimm. For sure.
Sister Grimm.
I know, I mean, I cannot not mention, you know, the movie, the last movie with Jim Caviezel, Infidel by Sarah Snorrestein, marvelous. But if I have to say after, you know, I'm gone in the heavens, how shall I be remembered as a Sister Grimm? She was someone who brings, you know, together fairy tales and their real stories, the real stories behind the fairy tales, because they existed, real people, and they're inspired by real people, and that people may start dreaming again. Because if Cinderella existed, everything is possible. And she did.
Everything is possible. Isabella Adriani, a very good friend. I give you lots of love across the internet, and we will see you again very soon. Everyone, you have been listening to Countess Isabella Adriani, Adriani Palazzi Trivelli, and we are going to be seeing you again very soon right here in the limelight. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.